Hello, everybody. Hello. That was amazing worship, Kerry. Thank you so much, John, Rob, and Paul. keep up. Sorry. We've had a break of about 3 weeks from our Living Out Our Faith series, but we're going back to it today, and we're starting off with Living Out Our Faith in Crisis. Now, I can see you all wondering, blimey, how much fun is this going to be this morning? But the worship we've just had has put us in the most amazing place, because we live through crisis knowing that we are in that foundation of the amazing love of God. And I believe this morning that what God is going to do is going to inspire us and equip us to grow in Him. And hope and faith are going to rise in us this morning. And this is a topic that actually I am absolutely passionate about, because I think it's key for us as God's people. It is true that we will have crises in this life. Things aren't always going to go smoothly for us. Jesus said this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world." That was cheery of him, wasn't it? But he did go on to say, "Be courageous. I have overcome the world." And we will have suffering. We're not immune from it. We live in this world which is beautiful and is filled with wonderful things. But it also has pain and illness and tragedy in it. But nothing that happens to us is so big that God's love cannot get us through it. Ruth read that Romans 8 scripture this morning. God's love for us is limitless, it's everlasting, and it is 100% for every person in this room and beyond, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, and no matter how we feel about ourselves at the time. This is God's abiding promise to us. Dave, you're going to have to flick on for me, please. "I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." That's what Jesus has done for us. We were celebrating that with communion this morning. We can live in God's love, and our challenge is to live in the good of that promise when things don't go too well for us in this life. Now, the second reason why I'm passionate about this is that I believe that how we handle crises is a major way that we can impact people around us with the reality of our faith. Do you remember when we started this series, I told you the story of my mum and the beautiful engagement ring that she owns? Great big aquamarine, it's gorgeous. She never wears it. She never gets pleasure from it herself. My dad gave it to her, this beautiful gift. He never gets the delight of seeing her enjoy what he's given her. And people around her don't get to enjoy its beauty either. And I said, our faith is like that ring. We need to use it. We need to wear it. We need to enjoy it. Our Father God has given us the gift of faith. We need to give him pleasure in seeing us make full use of it. And let others see how amazing our faith is when it works for us in times like times of crisis. Now, I've been around in River for a lot of years. I'm like an old piece of furniture. And I have observed times where people have gone through crisis. And Ruth mentioned at the very start, there are people who go through crisis and they do way more than just make it through. They're able to find God. They're able to hold on to him in a real way. They acknowledge the pain and the struggle, and yet they continue to walk in a relationship with God that ultimately leads to wholeness at the other side. And there are others for whom it is just so much more difficult. They're lost when crisis hits. They don't know where to go, what to do, where to turn. They feel crushed and struggle with their faith. And my heart's desire is that us here grow as a people who take every opportunity and difficulty in life, and through it, we grow in our souls and in our relationship with Jesus. And that we have in our hands the tools and the keys to facing crisis and dealing with it in a godly and life-affirming way. Do you remember our Reveal survey that we've been talking about? One of the key things that came out was a cry from us, "Help me grow in my relationship with Jesus." How we deal with crisis is a real opportunity for growth. Often what happens to us is actually not nearly as important as what God does in us and through us. Now, I am really aware that this is a very sensitive subject. I know there are people here today struggling with pain and difficulties. I want you to be encouraged this morning and equipped to continue on in your journey. I want to reassure you that God is for you and with you and loves you endlessly. For others of us here, everything's just fine at the moment. Life is really good. We need to be realistic about the life we have on here on earth. I am not trying to depress you. But as God's people, we need to take responsibility for our growth and our development in our faith and our walk with Him. So, what is a crisis? Oh, was that me, Dave, or was that you? Is that me clicking or you clicking? Shall I? It's me. Oh, look. This thing is demon-possessed, I tell you. Right. Crisis. I looked it up in the dictionary. A time of intense trouble or difficulty. We could all say yes, couldn't we? A time when a difficult or important decision must be made. Yeah? Also, I found this really, really interesting. The crucial point in a play or story where a crucial conflict takes place determining the outcome of the plot. I thought, that's interesting, isn't it? The point in my life when a crucial conflict takes place which can determine the outcome. Often, how we handle a crisis can have a real lasting effect on our lives. So, let's learn how to do it well. Now, who can name me some crises? There may be things that you've been through, you know others have gone through, things you can think about. Who can give me a, name me something? Give me an example. Audience participation time. Redundancy. Sickness. Bereavement. Divorce. Heart attack. Yeah. Thank you, says her husband. Kids. Kids can be a crisis. What else? Financial crises. Credit crunch. Shame. Shame can be a crisis. Flood. Flood is a crisis, yeah. Job loss. Any others? Bankruptcy. There are loads of different kinds of crises. And what I find interesting is I don't actually think there's a sliding scale of severity. What is a crisis to one person might not be to another, because actually our personality, our background, our previous experiences, our beliefs all come to play in determining how we view the difficult stuff of life. Now, there are keys. Look at these are good, aren't they? There are keys, I am convinced of it, that will help us. I've identified some from my own life, and before doing this talk, what I've done is I've researched, I've talked to people in our church who have gone through crises, some of the ones we've named, and I've said, what were the keys for you in getting through that crisis? So we've come up with five that we're going to rattle through this morning, and they are a healthy soul. We need to maintain this at all times. The goodness of God. What do we believe? The Word of God, tapping into its power for us, staying in the flock, the importance of remaining part of the family, and support. We all need it. Now, let's do the first one, a healthy soul. I read Proverbs 18, which said this, "A healthy spirit conquers adversity, but what can you do when the spirit is crushed?" And guys, we need to take care of our spirits so that when we get to times of crisis, they're healthy and they are able to sustain us. We need to build our identity in God, strengthen our beliefs. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. The Holy Spirit lives in me. If I go places, they can't fail to change for the better. God, is he hopeless about my situation? No, he is not. We need to keep connected to God, able to access and receive his power and his grace. That's why it's so important to invest in our relationship with Jesus all the time, not just when we're in a pickle. Hence the commitment checks that we did last week. We filled in, I commit to invest in my relationship with Jesus this year. It's so important. We spend time with him. We get into our Bibles. We pray. We worship. We just be with him. We build those spirits. And when we're in crisis, we need to continue to stay in relationship with him. He is the answer. You know, our choice is to go to him or to withdraw. And we see in Adam and Eve, when stuff went wrong, they withdrew from the presence of God. And we see in that story God walking in the garden going, "Where are you?" When we're in crisis, God is there. He's asking, "Where are you?" His endless love for us. Don't hide from him. Don't hide from him. We need to choose to go into the shelter of God's wings, safe and protected, hearing his heartbeat and feeling the warmth of his love. Psalm 17 says, "Keep close watch over me as the apple of your eye. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. Protect me from the enemies swarming around me." Shelter me, but we need to go in there. We need to choose to go in there to shelter in the shadow of his wings. So that's the first key, staying in and maintaining our relationship with Jesus. And the second one I'm going to look at is the goodness of God. We need to be utterly convinced that God is good. God does not send us bad things. Somebody once said to me, "God can never give what he doesn't have in his hand." And he's good. He hasn't got bad things in his hand to give you. He doesn't have bad plans for us. His word says in Jeremiah, "I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's what's in the Lord's plans and heart for us. Crises don't come from him to teach us something. We might learn things as we go through them, but he's not there going, "I'll give that person that, then they'll learn to be patient." That's not how God works. He's not punishing us. We've just taken communion. Jesus has taken our punishment. Now, someone who walks in the goodness of God in the most amazing way is Jan. Jan's actually here this morning. She wasn't going to be, but she is, which is amazing. But we're going to run with a short interview that I did with Jan about the goodness of God. Jan has been fighting a battle with cancer, and she is somebody who is able to just flow in the goodness of God.
I've found when I've been going through some difficult circumstances in life, I always think, well, God is good, therefore how is he showing me his goodness in the midst of this season? And it can be different in different seasons for me. So what that actually looks like practically for me is that I go through my day looking for the goodness of God. So I look for those kindnesses. And of course, once you start looking for them, you see them absolutely everywhere. And I find that God expresses his goodness to me in, well, ways like just the laughter of a child walking down the street, or just an extraordinary clip in a film I'm watching. Or it's, I don't know, some dog doing some funny thing. Or it may be a friend that sends me a kind of scripture text that is really encouraging. Or it may be a gift. Somebody once sent me some muffins through the post, which was a fantastic example of the kindness of God. But I find when I'm really intentional about looking for his kindness, I just see it again and again and again all the way through the day. But in a sense, it's something that I choose to do, is actually to look for those things and to talk about those and think about those things. And that really, really helps me remember the goodness of God in my everyday life. And for example, this morning I came to church and a very good friend of mine came up to me, and what she gave me was a bar of chocolate, which always is good news and tells me about the kindness of God. But especially this one just had a fantastic word of encouragement on it for me. So that's the way that I deal with difficult circumstances. I look for God's kindness and I just see it everywhere. And I do remember actually my granny used to sing an old hymn and used to say, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." And that is my experience. I am surprised at the ways he shows his kindness and goodness to me, especially when I'm going through difficult times.
Amen. Wasn't that amazing? And you know, Jan continues to be a real inspiration to me. You know, it's often hard to feel that you believe God is good if you're not there already. Does that make sense? But as you go looking for it, that begins to build that assurance and that faith within you. So I'd encourage you, do what Jan does. We don't have to wait to be in crisis. And that's a good idea not to wait to be in crisis, to build that belief within us. God is good. Thank you, Jan. The third one, the third key, is the Word of God. Now, this is a sermon in itself, so I shall rein myself in, because I've already done one of those. This, as you've heard me say before, is our food for life. This is the daily bread for our spirits. The Reveal survey showed us that actually the Word of God, reflecting on it, is the major catalyst for our spiritual growth. And actually, however you do that, whether it's in your Bible, on your phone, on your computer, however it is that you get into the Word of God, it's really, really important that we do so. Here, I was preparing this and I went to Psalm 119. I would really encourage you to study Psalm 119. It's the longest one in the Bible. Ha ha. That'll keep us going a while. But I would really encourage you to do it because it talks all about the Word of God and what it does for us. So, the Word of God is your food for life. It says, your word is a lamp to my path and a light to my feet. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Give me understanding. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live. Give me understanding according to your word. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Look at those things on the slide there. When you're in a crisis, don't you want those? Don't you want to be shown the way ahead? Don't you need to be revived and strengthened, given hope, given life? Don't you need to be brought understanding and given joy and comfort? God's word does all of those for us. And that's why it's so important for it to become part of our daily disciplines, so that it builds us continually, but also so there's a treasure store in there, so when we need it, we draw it out. I'm spending time with someone at the moment going through a difficult time, and I've just been encouraging that person. When you read something and it twigs an interest, put a post-it there. Keep putting post-its all the way through. And when you hit a dark time and you're going, oh no, what do I read? Where do I go? Just flip back to the post-its and just read the post-its where God's spoken to you in the past to build you and encourage you. Now, I'd like to invite Steve up. Steve Briggs, come on. Steve has got a brilliant testimony of specifically how the Word of God encouraged him.
Thank you. This is some 20 years ago. I've been a Christian a year or so. I'd only ever had a short birth certificate in my possession all the time. So I just got prompted when I was up in London for another reason to go to St. Catherine's House and look myself up on the list of registered and pick up my full birth certificate. So you can imagine the feeling when I wasn't there, when I looked in the register. So I asked one of the officials, and they said, have you looked in the register of adoption? So I went there, and lo and behold, my name was there, which meant I'd been adopted as a baby. As you can imagine, there's a bit of a crisis of identity at that point. I filled out all the forms, which would mean that they would send me my full birth certificate. But it was just like a council office. There was no one to talk to or anything. So I sort of left the building rather staggering and hit by this news. And there was a church just over the road. And I just wandered in there. I didn't think I knew much about the Christian walk, but obviously I knew more than I thought. So I opened up a Bible just lying on one of the pews and turned to Ephesians. And there's the passage that talks about us being adopted as sons and daughters of Christ. And I knew who I was. I knew I had that identity. I was a son of Christ. And ever since, I've had that identity. And if you don't know who you are today, you really do need to know that real depth of, you know, who you are in Christ. So, you know, I have that confidence in who I am now. Which enables me to wear silly clothes and daft hair, but I don't care because I'm the Son of Christ.
Amen. Steve, thank you. That is such a great illustration of how the Word of God can come to you right when you need it and just give you something that feeds your spirit and changes you from the inside out. You don't have to do the head thing on it. It's in your spirit and it's changed you. So I would just really encourage you to get into your Bibles, store up treasures for yourself. And if that's something that you struggle with, or you're not doing at the moment, or you want to do, or I don't know, whatever, I've got some UCB Word for Todays here that came to me. They're free. If you would like one, I'm going to leave them on the front. Come and get them at the end. Just grab one. It's a gift. This Word of Today is for you. So take it and take it home and let it encourage you and start you off on an amazing journey with God. So that's the Word of God. That's number three. Number four. Stay in the flock. Do you know, I actually think this is a big one. When we're hurting, when we're vulnerable, we don't want to face people. We don't want to answer questions, and we actually want to hide away. I think that is a completely natural reaction, but it doesn't mean it's good for us. I've seen so many people disappear in their pain. And then, do you know, they cut themselves off, and it is a real struggle to re-engage with God's people as a result of those choices. Last week, I talked about Jan's a brilliant flock with a flock. Sometimes we need a vet, and we all have a shepherd who is Jesus. And that analogy really holds for this. Staying in the flock is essential. When a sheep or a lamb strays off on its own, it's so much more vulnerable to being picked off, to losing its way, to being lost altogether. Safety is in the flock. And you know, we just need to be wise. We need to be wise that we have an enemy who wants to separate us from one another, who wants to discourage us, get us lukewarm in our love for the Lord. But God has designed a wonderful thing to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to hold us in. And that is us, his church. His body, we hold together, we work together, we're designed to function together. We need every one of you. We can't do anything without one another. We're designed to function together. And I just plead with everybody, let's not lose the benefit of that by the choices that we make when we're in pain. And you know, when we're in pain, often they're the worst kind of choices that we make. Because we feel rubbish, and we're making decisions based on feelings rather than what we know to be true. So don't stop going to church, no matter how hard it feels, or your small group. Push on through. Next month, our first son, Ryan, would have been 20. He died 20 years ago when he was a week old, as you've heard me mention. And that year after was hideous. But Jonathan and I, right at the start, made a decision. We are not going to stop going to church. We had to do it through gritted teeth, often. We had to do it because we knew we were doing it. We didn't want to be there. We didn't want to talk to anybody. Thank you very much. Certainly didn't want to worship. As for the talks, what a load of garbage they were. But we went, and we kept on going. And it just held us in like an anchor. I can't explain it any other way. We cried every meeting. Well, I did for a whole year. But it gave us strength. And we were in the body. We were in the flock. My encouragement is keep on coming. Make that decision now. So you don't need to make it when you get there. Don't hide away. Have someone to support you as you come. And Kerry Francis sitting here was that person for me 20 years ago. She held me in there week on week as I went to church, and I'm really grateful to her. And that leads me on to number five, which isn't happening. Dave, it's done it again. Support. Everyone I asked said their small group or a group of friends was critical to them in their time of crisis. And do you know, guys, we need to build those friendships. And we kind of need to do it now while the going's good, if the going's good. They don't just happen. It's really hard to work at friendships when you're in crisis. During that time for us, I was a mess. I wasn't functioning well. I needed people who already knew me to be there for me, friendships like Kerry's that were already established. About that time, 2 months after Ryan died, in the May, it was my dad's 60th birthday. And they lived in Cheshire. Jonathan and I drove up the motorway to my dad's birthday bash. And we were dead inside, absolutely crushed. And not a single person there asked us how we were, even mentioned the fact that anything had happened. It was completely ignored. And we drove away, understandably, but we drove away and I just felt so angry with God. And I sat in the front of the car, Jonathan was driving, and inside I'm screaming at God, where are you? Where's your love? Where's your care? Nobody cares for me. I'm on my own. This is not what this was meant to be about. And in that moment, as I paused for breath, like it was just almost a physical feeling. The revelation hit me. God said to me, I'm loving you through Jonathan. Now, Jonathan at that time was the most amazing support. He listened to me, he stood with me, he was just a rock. And I realised in that moment, he was God to me. So I was screaming at God, where are you? And God was saying, I'm there. I've got my arms around you in the form of a person. I'm standing near you. We need people. We really do. That's how God demonstrates his practical, tangible love to us when we need it. So my challenge to you this morning is develop those friendships now. Get in small groups now. Don't leave it till you need it, because it's quite hard to do it when you're feeling really broken. And work at being friends to one another. This isn't all just about what we need, but people need us to be friends for them, to be those arms around them at all times. So, in conclusion, Dave, let's be people who are prepared and ready when the storms of life come along. Have your umbrella ready to grab. Jeremiah 17:8 says this, blessed is the man who trusts in God, the woman who sticks with God. They're like trees replanted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers. Never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit in every season. Let's trust in God. Let's stick with God and be those trees who don't drop leaves, who don't fear when drought or difficulty come, because we know we have the Lord and we have one another to get through. So, can you just click them through? Let's just recap this morning. Yeah, just take them up, Dave. Thank you. Healthy soul, goodness of God, word of God, stay in the flock, get support. And I just want to challenge you this morning to do something about one of those things if it's spoken to you. Maybe start spending some more time with Jesus. Get into the word of God. Get into a small group. Ladies Alejandro is starting a new one, Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning, the vote's yours. There's going to be a group of ladies getting together to support one another. If that's you, whether you're just somebody at home, whether you're a mum, contact Alejandro. If you're somebody else, not a lady, what does that make you for man? And you want a small group, come and see me. I'm all about making small groups happen. Review your own support network and make a decision to invest in friendships. That means putting time and effort into them and being friendly towards people. I have here the notes of my talk. So if you want them, to use them in small groups or to use them yourself for study, come and get a set. If they all go, then I will email them to you if you just leave me your email address. But where I want to end is just by playing a track over you by Matt Redman called You Are Good Forever. And the words of this will come up, but for me, they just absolutely sum up just about everything I've said this morning. I'll pray at the end of it, but what I'd like you to do is just listen and let God speak to you. And if you want to stand and worship with it, please do. If you don't, you don't need to. But we will pray at the end. Okay, Dave, thank you. Lord, thank you that forever you are good. Thank you that we can rest our lives and depend on your goodness. Thank you that your love for us lasts forever. It will never, ever fail. And Father God, I ask in the days and weeks that come, you would stamp that truth deep into our beings, that you are good forever and your love never fails for us. In Jesus' name, amen.